church tomorrow, and instead of looking at that guy who's got his hands all over his girlfriend, and going up to him, and being like, leave our church at once. Get your hands off of us. Go up and hand him this. And say, meet me at the original pancake house, 7 a.m. tomorrow morning. And I'm going to dive into a book with you, and I'm going to do something. Maybe you don't go this far with the conversation, but you can as you get to know him a little better. Say, I'm going to do something your parents should have done. I'm going to help you become a man. I'm going to help you learn how to fight the good fight of faith. And in the same time, I'm going to benefit from it. Because what does Paul say when he writes to Timothy? I'm refreshed when I think about you. This isn't just a one-way relationship. When you see a young man begin to fight the good fight of faith, and you begin working into the life of a disciple, building into somebody a reproducer, this idea of fight isn't mine. I didn't come up with this. Number one, it's in the scripture. Number two, I got guys like Joe and Gary, the Pauls in my life, who have handed me the coin and said, get after it, Ted. You're in your mid-30s. It's time to grow up. It's time to take responsibility. It's time to fight for your family. It's time to fight for the church. It's time to fight for your faith. And that's how we develop the courageous heart. Let me give you some things in the few minutes I've got left to just encourage you. Just some points that maybe you could write down. Number one, it starts by searching your heart. You can have a courageous heart and do this disciple making until you begin to search your own heart. Psalm 139 says this, search me, O God, and know my heart. Many of you came to the cross this morning, you brought your nails, and you walked in here before the cross, though, with a closed heart. A heart that was detached, indifferent, numb, unavailable, lifeless, heartless, disconnected, alone, emotionally shut down. Before you hand your coin to your young Timothy, I've actually done it the opposite way, too. I've handed my coin to a Paul. Our executive pastor at our church is a retired volunteer. He's 73 years old. Courageous heart. He's a man of God. He's now like a third Paul in my life. And I said, Jim, I want you to invest in me. Before you leave this earth, I want you to spend time with me. And I just want to get everything I can out of you. Some of you can hand your coin in the opposite direction so somebody can help you search your heart. Once you search your heart, you're probably going to discover some things that scare you, that intimidate you, that you're embarrassed to talk about. In my journey, you know, 10 years ago, I began to search my heart because of a guy named Gary Smalley. He was my first real disciple maker in my life. And I was exposed to pornography at the age of 8 in the home of my pastor. His 16-year-old son thought it would be cool to see how an 8-year-old responded to it. My mom called during that and said, hey, Teddy, what you got going on? I described to her in vivid detail what I was seeing on the screen. Click, she came, she grabbed me, she took me home. My parents made a big mistake that night. My mom was sitting here, she'd be crying, she'd be mouthing up to me, I'm sorry. Jesus has healed me. Ephesians 2 says, Jesus breathes life into dead people. I'm not one of these 30-year-olds who holds their parents hostage for mistakes from the past. I've had to get over all of that. But my parents never talked to me about sex. The message I got on sex growing up was sex is dirty, nasty, and ugly, and you should save it for the one you love. How many of you heard that message growing up? That message was never spoken at our church, but I was raised in a church in a home that never talked about it. Gary was the first one to help me with it, because my wife one night was in bed reading a book on how men think. It's not a real thick book, you can read it. And it talked about our issues, guys, that we need to search in our heart. And the lust issue, and my wife, she went after and found somebody to help disciple her, because she thought all men were perverts. She's like, what is this problem in men? And I'll never forget her finally, after about a week of mourning, it was touch and go, we'd walk into a store, she'd look at me, if a girl was walking by, and I'd have to go like this, I mean, I was walking like this all week. And then she said, after she got good discipleship, she came home one night and said, as your wife, I'm going to do everything in my power to make sure you never struggle with that again. And the Hebrew term for that is bam, bam, chicky, chicky, bam. I've had to take responsibility for my heart, which is what many of you have started on today. And we hope continues in this Paul-Timothy relationship. You have to take responsibility and you have to own it. I'm being careful to make sure the messages I'm writing on my children's hearts. You know, we made the decision very early on that we're going to be a home, and we're definitely a church that talks a lot about sex, because we're in a sex-saturated culture. And we have people that struggle with same-sex attraction. We have people that struggle with pornography. We have people we're counseling out of affairs. It seems to be every day in ministry. And I told Amy, I said, we, Amy and Ted Cunningham, in discipling our children, are going to be writing the primary messages on their hearts. I don't want the world being the disciple maker of my child. That's my job. So we made the decision early on, only use anatomically correct terms when they start asking questions. I'll never forget when Carson was 3 going on 4, he hopped up out of the bathtub and he goes, "What is this?" How many have been asked that question? We're all raising kids, asked that question, and I, like most of you, just wanted to go walk out. But you know what I said? I said with boldness, I said, "Carson, that is your penis." And that became his new favorite word. We were at Bob Evans. And on 65 and 76, he always loves to take that placemat, turn it over, and draw pictures. We're eating with the worship pastor at our church, and Carson's drawing pictures, and I look over and I go, "Oh, my God." And I'm so embarrassed. And then, you know, we're a town of 6,000 ministering to 8 million tourists. And this sweet little old lady comes walking by. She stops and sees Carson coloring. She goes, "You are the cutest little boy I've ever seen." And she goes, "What are you drawing, son?" And I go, "No, ma'am." I said, "I think you understand. I'm just now starting to teach my son about his body and everything. A couple years be teaching him about desire and then, you know, how to honor marriage, Hebrews 13:4. I said, "Please, hey, my son kind of figured out what I was doing, and I will never forget my 3, almost 4-year-old looking at me and goes, 'Dad, I'm drawing a dragon, not a penis.'" It didn't look like no dragon. Every Thursday morning, 7 a.m., I meet with Ryan Marty, Timothy in my life. We search our hearts together. We take responsibility for our hearts. Ryan's in his 20s. He's coming out of prolonged adolescence wonderfully. He'll say things, and it always somehow goes back to our parents, right? And we go to number 2, Proverbs 4:23. "Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life." Every word that comes out of you, Ryan, every action you take today, every reaction you take, every word I take, every action I take, comes right out of my heart. I own it 100%. Teaching our kids to take responsibility. I have Ryan on Thursdays. I have my son in my home. 3,000 hours a year is how I'm influencing him. Some of you guys need to start by handing the book to your son who's in another room right now. And you need to get up early on the morning, an hour before school, go have your own special time, and you work through that book together. Some of you, I saw it as I walked down and was handing the cross out in the line here to many of you. You were standing there with your son and you both had tears in your eyes. Today's a defining moment for you. Some of you guys have never talked to your son. You've had the talk. But in today's world, it's now a long, lengthy, prolonged conversation. And you need to get engaged in the battle. You need to fight the good fight of faith for your family. You need to fill your heart with God's love. 1 John 4:8 says, "God is love. We love because he first loved us." We don't produce 1 ounce of love. And then this is my favorite part, and it was hard for me to do, and it's hard for a lot of young Timothys to do. Submit your heart, number 4. Submit your heart to that Paul. Submit to your heart to the guy discipling you. And then don't just sit in the passenger seat, guys. As somebody begins to invest in you and disciple you and work through issues in your life and works through your heart, I hope and pray they're challenging you to fight the good fight of faith. And as they do, you in turn take your coin and you hand it to another guy. You don't sit on the sidelines on this one. I hope you don't leave here today with the leaders of your church going, "What are you guys going to do about the Paul Timothy thing?" If you do, you miss the whole point. You miss the whole point. You are the disciple maker. You are to fight the good fight of faith. You are to enlist others in the fight with you. Your courageous heart is to work and walk alongside, instruct, command, rebuke, exhort,
younger guys, or in some cases older guys, but you're teaching others to fight the good fight of faith along with you. Guys, I love you. Thanks for having us in Dallas. I want you to take a look at this video that kind of talks more about unpacking that Paul and Timothy relationship. It was just great for us to spend time together, a lot of time together, and that to me is the heart of a Paul-Timothy relationship.
After having that first encounter with man at the cross, I was looking forward to coming back the next day to find out what else God had for me. It blew me away.
And at the event, I was really touched by the Spirit, and I had decided to fully commit myself to Christ, turning my life over to Him and letting Him lead me in any direction that He needed me to. And
I just cannot wait to find my Timothy, to pass that baton on. For me to be a mentor to somebody, I mean, is a dream come true, you know?
And so we need more Timothys, and I'm probably staying more in the role of a Timothy right now, even though I've become a Paul in some relationships and have Timothys in my own life. But we need more number two guys to say we're going to submit our lives to the authority of an older man to challenge us in every area of our life, home, family, and church, you know, job, career, money. Every area is on the table for God to challenge us through our Pauls.
I start passing that baton, and in that walk, it changed my life. I see people every day, and they know I have changed. Let that be the reason for you to pick up the baton and pass it to another human being. What about that?
What about that, Rick Rigsby? Yeah, what about that? Saying. How many of y'all know this small man in that time of time?
Hey, y'all.
Hey, y'all. Good to see you.
It's good to see you. It's great to be in Dallas. Boy, didn't Joe coach us up this morning?
Huh.
Is that awesome, y'all?
Yeah.
Joe's an old ball coach at Texas A&M and played at SMU. We got some Aggies in here.
Thank you.
Joe also played at SMU.
Before 41, 42, before knowing the art.
I think he picked off a pass from Sammy Ball.
Probably did. When did you play ball?
I played 74 through 78. And coached at A&M from...
You're a youngster.
You should be quiet for a second. Coached at A&M from 96 to 2000.
You know, so, Rigsby, you have to speak to these guys in a minute. But I warned you. There's some guys out here that are a little sleepy this morning. In fact, I just saw this YouTube a few minutes ago. This is what some of y'all guys look like. Check this dog out. You're going to find out in a minute. Somebody's going to call you out when you sleep in this service. Rigsby, you're speaking. Yep. That's what they're doing.
That's what they're doing.
This is Dallas.
Yep, not paying attention.
No.
Here's McKinney and Plano right there.
And we
Hey guys, you know in your package you have the one-to-one book.
Two of them.
And you have two one-to-one books.
We've been doing this 3 years.
Don't you love Joe? You know, if Benny Hinn.
Oh my gosh, here we go. Thank you.
Got together.
Thank you.
What do you think?
I have a return volley, but I won't play it today.
We have two one-to-one books, and they're awesome. I don't know if any of y'all remember when we were here last, we talked about discipleship, and Ted just gave them an amazing presentation on it. And I remember my first disciple was Clarence, and we didn't know anything about discipleship. So I said, Clarence, you want to go eat breakfast? He go, yeah. You want to go eat lunch? Yeah. You want to go eat dinner? We gained 88 pounds on discipleship. This book gives you a structure. It gives you a structure, and it also gives you strategy. In each particular week, 24 sessions, unbelievable. The Word of God, an understanding of the Word of God, and an application of that Word. And there's just some unbelievable stories. My favorite, Joe, is when you talk about Gary Oliver. Gary Oliver, world-known, awesome man of God, loses everything in his life. It's a modern-day Job story. And after losing his wife, after losing his child, he said that the only thing that kept him out of the nut house was allowing the Lord to come into his life and allowing God to turn his grief into gratitude. Every single week, you and your Timothy will meet together. You will have strategy. You will have structure. It will kick off your conversation. It will jumpstart your week like you can't believe. And also, you can download the Spanish translation of this book as well. In fact, do we have any Spanish translations?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. So we have some Spanish translations for you as well. But make sure this doesn't sit on your shelf. Make sure that this thing is worn out. Use it. And you and your Timothy will be blessed.
Can't tell you how much I've enjoyed the last 3 years of this venture of Men at the Cross, where we volunteered to put these books in men's hands all over the country. One of my five guys that I get to meet with one-on-one is named Troy. I just finished my 19th session with Troy yesterday morning. Troy was up on a water tower with a fifth of whiskey trying to get the courage to jump off the water tower. Fortunately, he climbed down the water tower, and on the bumper of my car, I got to lead Troy to Christ, and then I had something to go through with Troy, and now Troy is planning his first Timothy in his life. He's ready to be a Paul himself. It's one of the most thrilling things in a man's life when all of a sudden the Great Commission becomes something that you get to live out. And so as we've kind of built this over the last 3 years, our little website, menthecross.org, has got these on there free to download for life. We've had over 100,000 more one-to-ones downloaded free, where guys are now in their second Timothys and third Timothys, so you can download them free the rest of your life. Also, for some of y'all who are challenged by vocabulary as I am, and you like to learn by pictures, as some of the rest of us interior Lyman do, Rick, there's a video version online where each week after you meet with your Timothy and go through the study for that week and prepare him to be a Paul, then you can get on your laptop, and there's video clips that we've got from YouTube and GodTube and other places that support that week's Bible study. So in your private life online, your Timothy can be going through the supporting chapter of the videos, and you can be going through the supporting chapter, and then the next week you can get online and do the next chapter as well.
It's awesome. I had no idea what discipleship was all about until I hooked up with Joe a couple of years ago. I was one of those guys that completely ignored Matthew chapter 28. I know you are not like that. Just look straight ahead and pretend like I'm not talking to you. But I completely ignored Matthew chapter 28. You know, discipleship was for somebody else. And then once my eyes were open, to discipleship, there they were. Timothy's everywhere. Like Ted said, first of all, at home, off the workplace. Even guys that are difficult in your life, even relatives that you've avoided. And they're everywhere. If you have trouble coming up with Timothy's, just ask the Lord to open up your eyes, and then do something very practical. Carry around one of these prayer cards, Timothy vision card. This prayer card is in your packet. Joe instructed me to write down my very first Timothy, who was Clarence, and then write down some of his needs, and then to write down prospective Timothy's that I thought that the Lord would put on my heart, and just pray them in. And so make sure that you write the Timothy's down that you have now and the ones that you want to come into your life. And keep this card someplace where you'll see it often. I keep this card in my wallet, and so I see it several times a day. Unfortunately, it's the only thing in there I see several times a day. But keep it in your wallet and use it as a tool, and it's in your packet right now.
Now, Rick, you're giving all these instructions. Marcus, get that picture ready if you're back there, Marcus. I just saw this the other day. Here's how good we are at instructions. The guy had a boat, and he'd never launched a boat before, and he'd been hearing instructions like this. And the guy said, "You got to get that truck in the water where the water's right up to the hub of your truck." And he did it. The water's right up to the hub of the wheels of his truck. I don't know if you've seen the sticker on the back of his truck. We won't say anything about that. Anyhow. Listen to these instructions, man. You gotta back the truck into the water, not drive the truck into the water, Rick.
You know what, Joe?
Anyway, one of the other instructions that everybody's out there going right on with is these two coins that they got. I got this from my friend Tex Brown. And you men that are in the military, you understand the coin. And I love my friends in the military and admire my friends in the military. Tex is one of my buddies, but I was on the golf course, and Tex coined me. And man, I've never felt more humbled and honored in my life. Tex was in charge of the Air Force when 9/11 happened. And he is a man's man in every way. And Tex coined me on the golf course, Bobby Lloyd, you remember when it happened. And I cherished that coin. And I knew that that man would be my friend for life. And you know, in the military, when you coin a guy, you're his battle buddy. And if a grenade falls in that foxhole, you're on it to protect your battle buddy. And so we put these coins in guys' hands so that when you coin your Timothy and you say, hey, I'm going to be with you and we're going to study together and I'm going to, by the grace of God, get to mature you and walk in your faith till you're ready to be a Paul and have a Timothy in your life. And you coin him. And that coin relationship is like the covenant of David and Jonathan. And you know that you will never go back on your covenant with that man. So military friends, thank you so much for teaching us about what it really means to commit to a guy and to not falter in your commitment.
Amen, Joe. Amen. Guys, it's easy. This whole notion of discipleship is easy, and the only person who has made it difficult is the devil, to make it difficult in our mind. Here's how easy it is. Marcus, if you have that slide, put this slide up on discipleship. Watch this, men. You can take a look visually, but listen to what I'm saying. If just two men discipled two others, and those four discipled eight others, four others, and those eight discipled eight others the next year, and so on and so forth, and no one dropped the baton, take a look at the slide up there. In 5 years, over 2,000 followers of Christ. 10 years, over 2 million followers of Christ. In 16 years, over 8 billion followers of Christ. The world population is what? 6.7 billion. Let me put it to you another way. Joe gave me this mathematical equation about a year and a half ago, and it really blew my mind. Take your favorite preacher, and if your favorite preacher preached to 10,000 people a day, 365 days a year, it would take that preacher 2,000 years to accomplish the same numbers.
And that's why Jesus chose Peter. And a guy named James, a guy named John. That's why Paul chose a guy named Timothy, a guy named Epaphras. Gentlemen, we get to do this in what our country is desperate for. To bring this nation to the cross, not by filling stadiums, but by filling the chair across from me. Just one chair with one guy. So that guy can have a guy in his life. And that chart, man, can be reality again. How many of you men, your heart is burning like mine is to get this nation back to the cross? How many of you guys feel the burning that I feel?
Amen. Yeah.
We're all love Billy Graham. I love that man. It will not happen by Billy Graham. I love Bill Bright and what he did in his lifetime. Bill Bright will not do it. And I love James Dobson and what he does. He will not do it. And I love T.D. Jakes and others. They will not do it. The man that will do it is you and me. One-on-one, so that that chart can become a reality.
Amen.
And our final chart that I want to share with the pastors, if you'll put the final chart up there, Marcus, we believe that this is meant to happen in the church. And it's great that these conferences are in churches, because Rick and I are 100% convinced that the home church is the place for discipleship to take place. And so, yes, every man needs a Paul. And every man needs a Timothy. But every man needs a Barnabas. And guys, here's where this thing just starts blooming. The stacks of emails that I've gotten over the last 3 years from guys in the church, because there's one man in every church who's a Barnabas. And he's under his pastor's authority. You know, I'm kind of a Barnabas in our church. Ted's my pastor. He's the boss in our church. And I love that man. But I'm a Barnabas guy. And I get to encourage the Pauls in our church. The man needs an Antioch in his life. And in fact, if there's pastors in here right now, just, you know, as humble as you are, or if you're on church staff, if you would just stand up for just 1 second, because this thing is going to come back under your authority in your church. Stand up if you're a pastor, you're on staff, and stay standing for just a minute, just for a second. Meant to be done outside the church. I believe, yes, we're a catalyst today, and we're stirring up guys in your church. But this thing goes back into your church. If you're a men's leader, by the way, you're not on a church faculty or staff, but the pastor's appointed you, or you've become the men's leader, would you join your pastors in standing in just a second? If you're one of the men's leaders in the church, stand up, please. Your pastor may not even be here, but just stay standing for just a second. Here is the part about Men to Cross. This is just a catalyst. This is just the launch of the rocket. But when we go to break after we sing this song, and Rick, I mean, Chris, I hope you like this song up, okay? I want it to be good, okay? Okay. This is no average song.
I want it to be good. Okay?
Chris, really, we all look alike, and you don't.
Woo!
He's got some one-liners. He's got some one-liners. But after Chris... But pastors, as we go to break after this song, pastors, if the pastors and men's leaders would go out the door first, and before this song, the rest of us are going to stay and we're going to sing this song, Chris. But pastors and men's leaders, if y'all were going out the back door, we're going to meet during this next break, and I'm going to give you a 24-week DVD series that Rick Rigsby and Tony Evans and Max Licato and Chuck Swindoll and a bunch of my friends have made that we're going to give you to take back to your church to continue what happens this morning in your church. So pastors and men's leaders, leave. The rest of us are going to stand up and sing, and then we're going to go to break. So men, stand up and sing with Chris. Pastors and men's leaders, head out the back door. Chris, Brian, come on.